Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Pat Arato. Each week at this time, we visit with an author, an editor, or a publisher in our region. We hope to find out a little bit more about his or her life and what prompts them to write. We have an opportunity to hear them read from their work, and today we're very pleased to have Pat Arato with us. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you.
Pat Arato's book, The Language Thief, was included in Watershed Magazine's article Regional Riches this winter. Described as her personal story, one that has taken a lifetime to unfold, her memoir tells of her many years caring for and rehabilitating her aphasic ex-husband and how, because of that work, she became the driving force behind an independent speech recovery center called the Pat Arato Aphasia Center. It has since become a model for similar centers around the world and is now known as the Aphasic Institute. Pat, you've said that aphasia is not life-threatening, but it stops people from having a life. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about aphasia, what causes it, and how it affects those who suffer from it and their caregivers?
Mm-hmm. Aphasia is a cause through, it could be an accident or a blood clot that stops blood flowing to the brain. So when that happens, there's damage done to the brain.
Is it what we know commonly as a stroke?
Yes, but it can happen with many other causes, you know, blood clots or falling, and so there's many head injury types that can fit that. And when I say that it stops people having a life, as you can imagine, not being able to speak or communicate with the people you love and are around you, and that's what happens with aphasia, to varying degrees, of course. There are people who can speak, but maybe can't write, or write and can't read. And the language, for example, with my husband, his limited vocabulary was fantastic. That was all he could say.
Oh, that's the only word he could say?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fantastic. And that sort of, you had to look at the intonations there when he's talking about fantastic, and then you could understand what he was trying to get at.
Sort of an angry fantastic or a
that's right.
or a
that's,
tired fantastic.
That's right.
Or an,
that's right. Yeah.
Well.
So he was, but that was in the very beginning, and when he first had the stroke, and then he got a little better, but he couldn't put sentences together, and he couldn't write.
Hmm.
So that was a devastating. So that's why, you know, it didn't kill him, but it stopped him having a life.
Wow. So was there any standard treatment for aphasia at that time?
Yes, you had about a year's speech therapy at the hospital. And at the Toronto Rehab Centre was where Oscar went. And it was a sudden thing in that he recovered some of his language through music.
Hmm.
Yes, we were out one day in the garden and started singing some songs, and he joined in and the words were perfect.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if he needed something, was he able to sing his request?
Yeah, well, no, not really. But to form the words, I mean, it encouraged him through that. And we did use a lot of music after that.
I remember seeing a scene like that in The King's Speech, in that movie, The King's Speech.
Right, right.
He used singing to get past the stuttering, too.
Yeah. Music does amazing things for people.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So if he only had a year at the hospital, then what happened after that?
Nothing. You had to go either to a private speech pathologist or forget it. Nothing was available. So I met quite a few people in the organization called Stroke Recovery Association, and they were many of them that came to the meetings couldn't speak. So I presume, and when I started talking about what I was doing with Oscar. A lot of people became interested because I'd started a volunteer program for Oscar, with having volunteers come into the home to help him recover.
And then is that what led to the establishment of the centre?
Yes.
So yes. How did you go about that?
Well, what I did in the Stroke Recovery Association, I put in their monthly bulletin that I was going to start up a speech program. Anybody interested in coming? I managed to get a place in Toronto for free. That's when I started the program, but it was tough because speech pathologists were a little taken aback that volunteers were doing their work.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I was enhancing their work.
That's what I say. It wasn't necessarily their work. These were different ways of coming at it too.
That's right. There was carryover from their therapy, and so it started. But they were a little leery at first.
Yeah.
But I managed to get some good people on board. People in Sunnybrook, for example, who were neurologists.
And how long ago was that?
That was 1979.
Oh, so it's been going an awfully long time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And now we're worldwide. We have people coming to learn our process, or our program, rather. Because they many times it is limited, but with volunteers you can continue on past that original year of therapy.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, it was an awful thing to happen to Oscar, but it's comforting to know that something good has come of it, and he's helping so many others.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for so many. Thousands since then have been through the doors.
And you've written about it in your book, The Language Thief.
Language Thief, yes.
Would you perhaps read a bit from there for us?
Yes, I've got a page here. Yes, I was in real estate before when he had this stroke. So although continuing to work in real estate, I did little more than check in at the office, look through the listings, and occasionally go to an open house. My income was declining, but this was now of secondary importance. I'd taken the 6-week real estate course 3 years earlier and worked steadily at it until the stroke, then only sporadically for the next 3 years, as my time was more filled with learning and planning for Oscar's rehabilitation. And Oscar's rehab was soon that people got to know about it, and so I decided to include many more people. A short time down the road to fill a need and the gap in the system, I would focus on speech rehab. I dropped real estate and didn't miss it. I had found something that was more meaningful to me. My energy was now focused on learning everything I could to help Oscar. For the first time in my life, I felt dedicated to a cause. I found strength in being needed, but I also had to admit that being in control was a serious motivator. In many ways, ours had been a marriage typical of the 1960s and 70s. Oscar had a control of all the finances and the final say in any decision. He was the undisputed head of our household. I had come to our marriage very young, shy and homespun. Now that this role had come to me, I realized I was ready for it and actually well suited to it. This is about my children. Karen and Paul must have felt abandoned during Oscar's 2 months at Sunnybrook Hospital. I was occupied learning as much as possible about stroke and recovery. I read books, I observed, and I talked to the therapists. I needed to be aware of everything so that I could ensure he was on the path to a complete recovery. I would not believe he would not be talking and walking at some point as he had before. Disbelief, denial, but out of that denial came the certainty that something could be done to improve the new and still shocking conditions of his body and speech.
Well, thank you, Pat. It was quite a task you had ahead of you. We've been talking to Pat Arato of Coburg and author of The Language Thief, and we'll come back and speak with Pat again after we take this short break.